I'm going to tell you who's in the house today. You're not going to believe it. It's David Metzler. Yep. Hang on to your hat because we are diving deep. He said anything goes, and I have 20 minutes to ask some of the most powerful questions that might lead your life and your business into the direction you may be desiring. David, oh my gosh. I'm trying not to get overly excited here. I'm going to be cool. I'm playing it cool. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I love that. I'm so blessed to be here, Dana, and really appreciate the opportunity on my mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, to have the opportunity to share some mindset, some heart set, and hopefully some pragmatic handset tools to help officiate and to create efficiencies in allowing people to live to their potential.
You know, I know you're the chairman of Napoleon Hill. That should like ring a lot of bells there. I mean, your list is long and that would take the whole 20 minutes. But that is, in, you know, what really impressed me and what I really wanted to dive in deep is that you focus on service, gratitude. I mean, everything about, you don't focus on making $1 billion. You focus on what can I do to give back? How can I be grateful? I know your story a bit and we want to dive into that. I know that you've had big losses. I know that you had shame around that and transformation. I remember the conversation, you know, that's ringing in my head right now is with your mom when you had to tell her, hey, your house, I lost your house.
Yeah.
Let's start there. When did this start, this fire in you, that to pay it forward and do what you do?
Well, there's a saying that Dennis Waitley, a famous sales trainer, told me in my 20s. He said, David, I'm planting a seed under a tree I may never sit under, because I was resistant to what he was teaching me because I was ignorant and arrogant and thought that I actually knew what I didn't know. And I think the same held true in my life, that my mom, who ironically or unfortunately passed last week, my mom was planting seeds under a tree she may never would have sat under. And one of the greatest joys in my life was my wife, who told me at the time when I was at my spiritual low, she rocked my world and said, David, what if your mom knew who you really were? And it broke me. And when my mom passed last week, my wife said to me, after I eulogized her, now your mom knows who you really are, and she's proud, and she loves you, and she still has your back. I'm proud of you. I love you, and I always have your back. And to that measure, it started because my mom was planting the seeds of the values that I live by today. And I live in those values the best that I can, the most amount of time that I can. And I spend minutes and moments interfering with my best self.
I love that. And, you know, I want to send you lots of love and prayers. I saw it out there and I've been sending you messages, but, you know, I am sorry to hear about the loss of your mom. I could see the beautiful connection that you had. And, you know, what you were just talking about, I think about the Michelangelo effect, that you actually, you know, people saw greatness in you when you were struggling and didn't see it yourself. For people that are listening, and let's face it, the world is struggling. You know, where they resist, I often say, lean in, lean in, lean in. They're not always going to do that. What can you say to those people that are just, they're just chasing that golden bridle and they don't see what it is they're missing?
I have one simple piece of advice. And that is simply to ask for help. You know, it's impossible to not see things when you pick out people that you want to be like and ask them for help. And pick not just five people to be the aggregate of those five people in which you spend the most time with. I think that's bullshit. I pick people by teams. So I pick people and say, you know what? I want to be on that person's team. And I want to play point guard for that person, or I want to play center, or I want to be the owner of that team, or I want to be the water boy on that team. Just want to listen in to the magic and the genius of what they know about AI or some other subject matter topic or expertise that I'm interested in playing on those teams. And so for me, when we are struggling or we're lost, well, the fastest way to get to where you want to be, which means fast means easy, and where means find someone that's already there to give you directions, but don't forget the seat that you leave behind. I always say the fastest way to get to where you want to be is not only finding someone that sits in the position you want to play with and ask them for directions, or help someone get to where they want to be and let them on your team, pull up a seat on your team for them. This is the magic, the ease that exists for every one of us in a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought. When we realize we're part of that whole thought process, it's quite easy to see why people live not in ease, but in dis-ease.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So what would, you know, what do you have to say for the people right now that feel they're doing that, but they're not seeing results?
Well, you never see results. This is the biggest problem. Like I have tried to figure out the easiest and fastest way to explain this to people. It's not just wisdom, right? It's not just investing millions of dollars in a business, being the first one in, the last one to leave, doing good things, being kind. It's not all of that. It's also faith. And here's where people miss the mark, is they don't realize that they need faith. Because most of the time, when you're almost to where you want to be or better, it's taken way longer to get there, by the way. Most of the time, when you're almost to where you want to be or better, there's no evidence at all that you've progressed. Or worse, in my case, there was contrary evidence that I was never going to get there. And so people quit. And so the diagram I want you to think of in your head is, imagine that there's 1,000 steps to get to where you want to be or better. There's 1,000 steps. It will take you 90% of the time, 90% of your money, 90% of your effort to get to 250 of the 1,000 steps. And most people will quit before they get to the steps of 250. Then the worst people, the ones that really frustrate me, it only takes another 5%. You've already spent 90% of the effort, time, money, and emotion to get to 250 of the 1,000 steps. Now it only takes you less than 5% to get to 500 steps. And there's still 99% of those people that quit. And they're almost there because it's less than 5% again of time, emotion, and energy and value to get to 1,000 steps. So next time it's taken you so long to get to 250 of the 1,000 steps, tell yourself, I'm almost there. I know there's no evidence. I know the contrary evidence that exists, but I know I'm almost there. It's only going to be another 5% till I'm halfway there, and another 5% till I'm all the way there. Then it'll just be another 5% till you're twice 2,000 steps, then 4,000, 8,000, et cetera. That's how billionaires are made.
Mm, I love that. So what rings true to you after you had the losses and you came back? And I mean, talk about exponential growth. I mean, just boom, and just keeps going. And you just keep paying it forward with service and gratitude and service and gratitude. I mean, that really spoke to me because I believe so deeply in that. And people are telling me all the time, well, that's not going to get you anything. And I'm like, you know, I'm not connected to the outcome of getting something. But tell me about that. What shifted in you where you felt so passionately about this? And what do you see energetically that evolves from that?
Well, it's really a matter of understanding the worlds that people live in. You know, you can make a lot of money by living in a scarce world, either being a victim like I was as a child, six kids, a single mom who worked two jobs, packed my dinner in a paper bag just so we could eat, being a second grade teacher and filling up turnstiles with greeting cards at convenience stores just so I could eat. So as a victim with nothing to lose, my mission was commission. Because it was going to be the commissions that was going to buy the house and the car for my mom and take her out of the only pain I knew in my existence, the only punishment that I saw as a child, because my mom and siblings and my family was so loving and all the great things that I had that I didn't value. I valued what made my mom cry, which was the car breaking down. How could I fix that? Not having a place to eat, to live, to go to summer camp. How could I fix that? It was going to be the commissions. And then when I started making the commissions, I also was living in a scarce world because I was taught the more you give, the more you receive. And so I was under the context that there still wasn't enough for everyone, but everything was going to come for me. not to me like a victim, but for me as an optimist, as a philanthropist, as a humanitarian. And I realized through that world of just enough for me that I was buying shit that I didn't need to impress people I didn't even like, that everything was a trade or negotiation. And where the nuance of awareness and enlightenment came in my life is through this faith that there is more than enough of everything for everyone. So no longer did I believe in the commissions. I realized that if my mission was to give more, and I used gratitude and forgiveness not to receive more, but to elevate my awareness to all that I'm given. You see, if I was going to give more, I was going to be given more. And that equation made an abundant amount of sense to me, because so many people, they're giving more and they're given more, but they don't feel worthy of receiving it. So you end up with broke moms and first responders and veterans who have given their lives, and they're given so much, but they're not worthy, or they're not comfortable, they're not confident receiving more. And then they have no faith, because now they feel bad. Even if they've received something, they then just give it away without the most important component of the infinite loop of giving, which is you give more, you elevate your awareness to all that you're given, even when there's no evidence, even when the evidence is contrary that you're being given something. So my evidence was I lost everything, including my mom's house. But I use this philosophy to say, okay, what am I given from this? Not how am I being punished? There is no God. All the things my mom smirked at me initially when I said, and she told me, oh, there's a God. You're just believing in the wrong God, son. Now, I said to myself, she's right. I'm going to continue to give more because I'm given more and I'm worthy of receiving it. Even though there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary because I'm bankrupt, I'm going to ask for more than more. Now I'm going to give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and then ask for more than more than more. You see where I'm going to end up when I'm 81? Unlike my mom, I'm going to live in a world of more than enough for everyone. And I'm going to be capable of giving more than more than more than more, being given more than more than more than more, being receiving more than more than more, and asking for more than more than more, more and more, and continuing so on. So I want everyone to realize that it's not just give to receive. It's not a trade or negotiation giving. Right. It's a oneness. It's an infinite loop of more than enough of everyone and everything. So next time you think to yourself, man, if I make that $1 million, someone else isn't going to have it, right? Someone else is going to lose out. Or if I do this and there, no, that's not the way the universe, it's an expansive, abundant, infinite universe, which means there's more than enough. So if you want a Ferrari, picture in your head, 1 million Ferraris, and grab one and ask for it. Ask for it, and then be intentional about what you do, say, think, feel, and believe, and clear the interference between you and your Ferrari, you and your money, you and your home, you and whatever else you desire in the universe, and be abundant and live in that infinite, abundant, unified system that we were all and still are part of.
Beautifully expressed, beautifully expressed. I always think, instead of asking what's wrong with this or what went wrong, I flip it and say, what's perfect about this? And give me the information I need to evolve. And it's exponential growth for me in that area. And I teach that. So I love that premise. I love what you just dropped into. So the people that are stuck in what happened, what do I need to do next? What are three things we can leave them with, tools that are like, this is a quick three things you can reset and keep you grounded and moving forward into what it is you may desire or want?
The three things are all relative to time. I study time. It's my love language. I think we even started exactly on time. So my heart was singing. And the first thing is I divide my day into time zones, because the only dependent variable, the only certainty of tomorrow is we all are going to be given 24 hours. And it's God's gift to us that you're given, no matter what, you're given 24 hours. You may be cheated your last day of life, but besides that, I guarantee everybody on earth, except for the last day of their life, has the exact same amount of time, and we will stay on the exact amount of time. Everything else is circumstantial and uncertain.
What's the biggest waste of time you see in people? What's the biggest waste of time?
I will tell you, sleep. So it's absolutely the biggest waste of time. They don't sleep and they interfere with their sleep. They don't realize that sleep is their number one activity that is inherent in their success. Because you mentioned teaching people to get the information that's necessary from an omniscient source, an all-knowing, all-informative source. Well, there's another thing that comes from that same process of sleeping. Besides accessing all that information, it's all the power of the all-powerful infinite source. So not only does it know everything, have all pieces of information we need, it also has plenty of energy. I have more energy than anyone I know, and I'm 57 years old, and I promise physically I'm not in as good a shape as the people that I have more energy than. Then how do I do it? Because I interfere less with the information in the source of energy that I'm part and parcel to. I'm shortening the distance of resistance, not trying to go get something I already have. And so sleep is the number one thing I want you to do. Make it non-negotiable. A minimum of 8 hours a day of sleep for recovery and access of information and power. Every single day, non-negotiable, non-circumstantial. I don't care what delays there are, what the weather, interest rates, negative energy that surrounds you, you better have an unwinding routine, a sleep coach, study sleep, get the best bed you can find, pillows, mattresses, weighted blankets. I don't care. Sleep 8 hours. I promise you the rest of the 16 hours of your life will be easy. Second piece of advice, have at least an additional 4 hours of non-negotiable activity that include these things. So every day I'm sleeping no matter what. Every day I'm spending a minimum of an hour a day on my health, a minimum of an hour a day on my family, a minimum of time on my finance, a minimum amount of time on my study of time, a minimum amount of time on my faith, a minimum amount of time on studying relativity. So for me, it's 12 hours a day, 8 hours of sleep, 4 hours of non-negotiable activity. And because I'm doing it every day, it accelerates the outcomes. It aggregates the source that I need, the information and power that I need, and it gives me an exponential result because 2 minutes a day is worth way more than 2 hours on a Saturday. And if you don't believe me, I have seen thousands of students who study Spanish 15 minutes a day, and all of them get an A. I also know hundreds of thousands of students who study Spanish for 15 hours on a Saturday, and they don't get an A. And so 2 minutes with your kid a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. Every single, this is the way the conscious continuum works. This is the way physics works. This is how quantum nature itself works through consistent, persistent understanding intentionality. So I want everyone, number one, to sleep a minimum of 8 hours. Two, the 4 hours of non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior is aligned with where you want to be or better. Then the third piece of advice, take the other 12 hours of your day of awake time and learn how to prioritize by what's important to you, who you can help, who can help you, and how best to get that done. And then spend your life in those 12 hours of circumstantial behavior. So the weather affects what I decide to do. The interest rates affect what I decide to do. My mortgage affects, the argument with my wife affects it. All the circumstances that are real. My job is to pre-prioritize, prioritize, and reprioritize according to the circumstance to maximize the rest of my day in the divine direction by giving the divine meaning to my past, because that's the only limitation of my future, the meaning I give my past, and it impacts my self-image, which I never will overachieve. So within the context of three things, sleep, non-negotiable behaviors of health, family, finance, faith, study of time, study of relativity. And then the other 8 hours of your day, learn to pre-prioritize, prioritize, and reprioritize according to what's important to you. Not what's missing, not what you don't have, not what other people want from you. Remember, I am not what I want people to think I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. I got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, brilliant. I think if anyone listens to one podcast, they should download this one and put it on repeat. Just let that be the mantra in your head. And that was genius. I mean, absolutely genius. Okay, I have one last question.
I paid a lot of dummy text to learn that.
Yeah, I'm going to say just the rhythm, the sequence, and you're speaking my language. I mean, I'm like, I actually do have drumsticks here. I would have been going like this the whole way because it was like, absolutely stop the sleigh, get your priorities, get your sleep. I love it. Thank you so much for that. That was brilliant. I think the listeners are going to really, I'm hoping, soak that up and play it on repeat. Okay. Last question, because I know we're limited with time. What feels like love for you?
Kindness is love to me. When I witness kindness, when I am kind, when I receive kindness, it is 528 frequency. 528 frequency is the love frequency. I call it vitamin L. People have all these other vitamins they're taking. They're not taking enough vitamin L. And if you want to live and eat and drink and give vitamin L, you need to be kind, receive kindness and witness kindness. Stop watching The Housewives. I know a lot of those girls are my friends and they're probably like, Dave, you can't tell people to stop. There's no vitamin L watching those kind of programs. You know, watch something, listen to something, read something that inspires you.
Your favorite show? What's your favorite show right now?
I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to say it because it is not aligned with my family's culture, but I'm a huge Joel Osteen fan. I watch, rewatch, and I'm not dogmatically inclined in religious sense, but the message and the polished information is so positive. And I that's my favorite show. But, you know, I read a lot or audiobooks. So the Tao, I study the Tao. I study Wayne Dyer, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life from Power of Intention. I study The Course in Miracles for 10 years every single day. So although sometimes I watch a program, never before I go to bed. I have an unwinding routine. I don't want any type of interfering energy. I get into a place of recovery and access. And I'm in a position to recover and access mentally, physically, and spiritually every night. No negative conversations with my wife. One thing I've learned, and you probably have seen this in your intimate relationships that you've had in your past, I don't know why our partners love to bring up things right before we go to bed, especially things like, oh, we have four kids. How are we ever going to afford college? Oh, you know, the stock market is going to crash tomorrow because of tariffs. Oh, this is right before I go to bed. No more for me. My wife knows better. I've been married 27 years. I just cancel that shit before it comes out of her mouth because I want to be in a pure state of theta to receive and access and recover.
I love that. And so do you watch the news or do you like read a little and
access
tap that?
The news? You can access the news. There's something called ChatGPT and Google. Why would you want to be fed news? This doesn't make sense to me. To me, I've been in search since 92, right? With Westlaw, legal research. I've been searching bullion language before most people don't even know what bullion language is when it comes to searching. So I've always accessed the information I'm more interested in so I can help other people. Nobody's going to feed me their bullshit.
Yeah. So explain to people what bullion language is.
So
just in case they're wondering.
Natural language that we use today, whether it's via AI or not, it's based off of a structure of a sentence. So what it's actually doing is converting it to, I'll use my first search, slip and fall in a grocery store. Today, you could tell your phone, hey, what is all the California case law on slip and fall in a grocery store? Bring it up in reverse chronological order, cut and paste all the areas of the case law into one brief for me and write a legal brief. This is possible today. In the old days, you would type in /s/fall/p, quote unquote, grocery store, which was the actual structural way that AI was built in the early 1990s, 1992 to be exact, in DOS. Yeah. And then you physically on WordPerfect 5.1 would cut and paste it on a dial-up modem, 9600 baud modem. That search would take 15 minutes and people would be amazed how fast it searched.
Yeah. Let's do the little noise that it did too, because, you know, I'm 60. So, I mean, I remember all that, the pagers, the 8-tracks, the first
computer.
You
now have embarrassed me, because I look at least, and I mean this truthfully, and I hope it flatters you, but I look at least 10 years older than you, and I'm younger than you. I don't know how this happens to you beautiful ladies. My wife's this. People think my wife's my second wife, because we have one. We have baby Oops that's a little bit younger than the rest of the kids. And I'm like, no, she went to high school. Oh, she was a freshman when you were a senior. I'm like, no, she's a senior when I'm a senior. We're the same age. And they're rude. They're like, really?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think you look great. And I think this is the deal. You have so much more wisdom, and I can see so much more to come. And, you know, I'm going to say, people keep asking me if I'm aging in reverse. And I think, you know what? I'm lightening the load. I'm not taking stuff on. I'm growing exponentially in. If that doesn't serve me, and that doesn't feel like love, and if that's not feeding me, and I ask very quickly, what do I need to know from this? I've had huge losses like you, bankruptcies, losses of billion-dollar companies. And it's like, hey, it's gone. What do I need to do now? And what's, you know, and I stay out of the future.
What am I supposed to learn from it?
Yeah.
Right?
So you're just, I just think you're brilliant. I think if I had to assess all the people that I'm drawn to, you, it's like, I got a hot radar on you. It's like, you speak my language, and I think that you feed so many, and I love it. So I know we've gone over. Tell me how people can find you. What do you have coming up? I just missed you in San Francisco.
Yes, I am everywhere. So here's what I'd like to do. Anyone in your community, I will pay for my book. I will pay for shipping of my book. I will sign my book and send it to anyone. Email me, David@dmeltzer, not Metzler, because we know how Dana thinks. She'll call it a Metzler. It's a Meltzer.
Yeah. Like it's seltzer. My dyslexic brain. I'm going to do it.
Seltzer. It's like seltzer with an M. Email me, David@dmeltzer.com. Join our community of people that help each other, know people that help each other. Get my book. It's a great starting point for my mission. I will pay for it, pay for shipping the book. I'll sign it. Please reach out. If you forget my email, David@dmeltzer.com. Just Google me, David Meltzer. You'll find me. I'm accessible. Promise me I'll get to see you. We're going to be in 200 cities, so I'm not going to list those off. Yeah. Please, Dana, come and see us soon.
Well, I not only will do that, I'm actually excited about that. And I think I have something booked to see you soon. But I also will have all his links, everything that we're gonna supply it all. So get the book, a signed book. I mean, I'm going to like get into another account and sign up and get one too. David Meltzer, not Meltzer.
No, Meltzer. You got
Oh, Meltzer. See, do you see how my brain osmosis now?
You actually introduced me that way again too.
Did I?
You go, my brain works this way, and then your brain worked that way. So
yeah,
you're not the first, but it's right there behind me. Meltzer. Yeah.
Spoke it into existence, didn't I? I mean, this is what we do. I was anxious about it, and then I did it. No one does it better than me that way. I am so grateful for you being here. You are brilliant. I'm grateful for you. Just your presence, your energy in the world. Keep doing what you're doing. And
appreciate you.
All right.
That was all I needed for the day. Thank you. That was sincere. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for being here.